Welcome back to Course Correction. I'm Fareed Guillot. Still to come is Congressman Sam Graves to finish out the hour. But right now, it is no secret that women are underrepresented in aviation. However, the issue is more widespread across access and pathways to science, technology, engineering, and math fields. And we've always been tough on that. Joining us right now is Beth Dittmer and Nicole Buckles from the Air Force's Propulsion Directorate. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's quite a fancy name for, So obviously it's with the Air Force. Are you civilians with the Air Force or are you serving?
We are civilians.
Civilians, the civilian side. So those of you who are like, oh, that sounds really interesting, but I don't know if I want to do, I don't know if I want to be in the Air Force. There's a lot of civilian jobs that are rewarding.
Yes. Yeah. So we're with the Air Force Materiel Command. And probably about 80% civilian to 20% military.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Materiel Command, this is not just supplies and logistics. It's a little bit more than that.
Correct.
It's more research-based or?
Yeah, so it kind of runs the gamut across the life cycle. So you've got research activities, S&T type stuff, mm-hmm. and then we are in the life cycle management organization. So we are responsible from cradle to grave, all of the engines and the Air Force's inventory, and then also designing engines for the future, aircraft that are gonna come into the portfolio.
So what excited you about working on engines? Or it's just kind of where you ended up, but what excited you about being in the science field, we'll put it that way?
So I love the innovation, and we're doing a lot of innovation right now, and it's just a very exciting time to be not only in propulsion, but just to be in the Air Force. So there's a huge emphasis on adopting best-in-class capabilities, technologies. We both are responsible for sustaining very, very old engines. So, you know, if you're looking at the TF-33 engine that's on the B-52.
I was just going to say, know something in the inventory then.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like the best 1960s technology. And just keeping those engines maintained is a challenge. And that's also kind of exciting because then we get to partner with academia and with industry to try to come up with new ways to keep those engines rolling out the depot and, you know, ready to put them on aircraft.
I'm curious in that particular realm, how much of that engine is now fabricated versus original parts?
Oh, probably a lot of it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it sounds like the Air Force wants to keep it going for several more decades.
So there's currently an engine replacement program that's in acquisition. So those new engines right now are slated to come in the early 2030s. But that's still quite a bit of time to have to support these very aged engines.
How much do they, how much are they, the B-50, they fly every day, a lot of them, or is there always one of them flying? So we're getting a lot of cycles still going.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What about you, Nicole? What kind of drew you into this field?
So I actually work in more of a supporting function. I'm the director of staff within our propulsion directorate, and I get to enable the people doing all of the smart things. And I love that part of my job. I love that I get to, take care of people and, kind of, like I said, kind of be that force behind the scenes that allows them to then deliver that capability to the warfighter. Because at the end of the day, in being in the Air Force, that's the mission. And I'm a patriotic person. And so being able to contribute to that mission, even in some small way, it makes me happy just to be able to take one little part and contribute. So
I was speaking with a friend last hour about the fact that around aviation, it's not all just the people either operating controls or doing the research, and that's all very important, but there's a lot of support folks that their talents are just as important as far as making this all happen. And so people looking to get in the field, you may not think that you could work at an Air Force base or an airport, but you can.
Absolutely. When I started in the Air Force as an intern over 22 years ago now, I'll be honest, when I first started, I never thought it would be my career, and started out in a job that I didn't want it to be my career, but that was okay. It's you know, it just wasn't my fit. I had a degree in English and I was working with numbers, and I was like, oh gosh, you know. Yeah. you know, I stuck with it and I ended up finding my niche, and now I love what I do. And I, like I said, I love the mission and I love the people. And so absolutely, you know, there's a place for everybody. I have a 17-year-old, and my husband and I tell her that all the time. You can really do anything and be anything that you want to, in the Air Force, either military or civilian side. There's so many different opportunities. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that.
I have an aviation degree, and one of the classes we took was called technical writing, and this kind of was part of the curriculum in the major. And one of the exercises we had to do is the professor says, "Okay, here, this is your game. This is your game. This is your game. You need to write the directions for that." And I'm gonna invite my 11-year-old and their friends over, get some pizzas, and they're gonna follow your directions.
Yep.
So. Just language skills is really important, especially in this field where standardization and communicating exactly what you need to communicate, so that it doesn't, you know, screw up something.
Sometimes it can be really hard to translate what you do on a daily basis. And so, you know, that's where somebody like me can kind of step in and say, okay, you understand what you do on a daily basis. How do we take that and then translate to somebody else that maybe doesn't work in that world every day? You know, we say propulsion and we start firing off Air Force acronyms left and right. And, you know, and somebody looks at you going, I don't know what you're talking about. And so being able to kind of take that and make it usable information that really smart people can use and then help us, like Beth was saying, with just innovation and stepping out there and taking on new technologies and capabilities.
You hear that, English majors? Come serve your country. You're listening to EA Radio. I'm speaking with Beth Dittmer and Nicole Buckles from the Air Force's Propulsion Directorate. And what makes you excited about propulsion? What should people know about propulsion? I know, because it's kind of like this word.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what are some interesting things that people don't know about it?
So I would say, without propulsion, aircraft are static displays, is what we like to say. Also, we generate the sound of freedom. Which, you know, if you've been out here and hearing all the F-22s and the F-16s and the F-35s, like that just gives us a lot of pride.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would say within our directorate, we manage the entire portfolio for the Air Force. So over nearly 40 engine types on, you know, 30 something different aircraft. So, you know, like Nicole said, there is just a place for everybody. We touch all of the missions across the Air Force, which is exciting. We work with all of the different MAGCOM customers. We work with, 51 FMS partners. Mm-hmm. So there is just a lot to be exposed to and a lot of opportunities to make a difference and leave your mark.
How often does, you know, like the F-35 is, they're kind of very slowly rolling that program out, obviously. Typical aircraft development programs tend to have these growing pains, but how often in the life cycle of a Air Force airplane does the propulsion needs change, and how do you adjust to that?
So I would say they probably need to change more often than they do. And that's something that we're working on that our, you know, boss is trying to kind of make some changes. Is we are flying, you know, some very, very old aircraft and old engines. So we've got to be mindful of, as those engines come into depot, how do we overhaul and rebuild them with newer technology so that they're more reliable, they perform better, they get better range and thrust. But I would say, you know, it's kind of all about priorities, and sometimes we don't always get to do those things, but definitely something that we're trying to get accomplished.
I worked in the civilian maintenance supply chain for the airlines. Is it somewhat similar at that obviously there's line mechanics in the Air Force, but how much does the Air Force do tear down rebuilds of engines and things like that, or how much is sent off to civilian contractors?
So it depends on the
work. I don't need specific numbers, but generally.
Yeah. So, I mean, typically, kind of the general rule of thumb is anything that is a commercial derivative engine that, like, we've adopted, you know, to fly on the KC-135, for example, or the cargo aircraft, those are generally done by a contractor. The majority of our fighters and bomber engines are done organically at the depot.
Okay. Yeah, this is, hey, you got to protect some of those secrets, no doubt.
Yes, to make sure we've got the capabilities in-house.
Anything else that may not have touched on you'd like to tell us about your roles?
I mean, yeah, I would just say, you know, to other, you know, people listening to this, other women especially, I know we are both very, very passionate about growing that workforce of, you know, people that look like us and mm-hmm. making sure that they know that like there's a place here like for them. If you're interested, you can come by our booth over in one of the Air Force tents and learn more about how to work with the Air Force.
They're going to be available in just a few minutes. Beth, Nicole, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beth Dittmer and Nicole Buckles of the Air Force's Propulsion Directorate. Up next, Missouri Congressman Sam Graves. This is EAA Radio.